This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All righty, it's Tuesday. If you're just joining us, a couple of big news items over the evening. An F-16... flown by the Turkish Air Force, takes out a Russian jet near the border of Syria and Turkey. The Russian Su-24 shot down after the Turks said it violated their airspace. The Russians denying that. Both pilots did get out in one piece, but there you go. American F-16 takes out the brand-new Su-24. Welcome to the party, Vladimir. At any rate, I don't think it's going to cause World War III, but this is the kind of nonsense and the kind of collision course you put yourself on when you don't have foreign policy, because there's no American leadership in the region, so therefore the Russians come in and freelance, the French come in and do their thing, and all sorts of other folks come in, the Jordanians and others come in and start flying jets around, and the Turks are like, you cannot be in our airspace. They said they warned the Russians several times, and so the Russian Su-24 gets shot down. Apparently the pilots end up in Syria, surrounded by rebels. We don't know what will become of the pilots, but I would just say it'd probably be a really good idea for the rebels to turn them back to the Russians. Otherwise, Vladimir will be start making, you know, longer runs with bigger planes with more bombs. Just my guess, which he's probably going to do anyway.
Yeah, but Vladimir is not there necessarily for the rebels, although he is helping Assad. He's there mostly for ISIS, which is not the rebels. We got to keep that straight.
Well, I understand that. I mean, it gets confusing, but you know,
extremely.
It's not confusing to me. Level it all and sort it out later. Meanwhile, and this is important, the Americans have been told to be careful about your travel plans. You know, you need to be careful about your travel plans because, well, you are a target, which is no surprise. You are a target of terrorists all over the world now. So keep that in mind. It doesn't matter where, and that's including here at home too. It's not just a travel advisory for you going overseas. It's a travel advisory for those of us living right here at home to be vigilant about what we're seeing, whether it's at a shopping mall or a school. There's a clear ominous warning to Americans everywhere. Here's part of what it says. This is from the State Department. A statement issued yesterday. Current information suggests that ISIL, a.k.a. Daesh, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and other terrorist groups continue to plan terrorist attacks in multiple regions. These attacks may employ a wide variety of tactics using conventional and non-conventional weapons and targeting both official and private interests. Authorities believe the likelihood of terror attacks will continue as members of ISIL-Daesh return from Syria and Iraq. Additionally, there is a continuing threat from unaffiliated persons planning attacks inspired by major terrorist organizations but conducted on an individual basis. Extremists have targeted large sporting events, theaters, open markets, and aviation services. Now, in the past year, there have been multiple attacks in France, Nigeria, Denmark, Turkey, and Mali. ISIL-Daesh has claim responsibility for the bombing of a Russian airliner as well. That, of course, happened over the Sinai in Egypt 2 or 3 weeks ago now. The department says all U.S. citizens should remain vigilant when in public places or using transportation. And the key here is it doesn't say when abroad. It says anywhere. So if you go out grocery shopping today, pay attention. If you go out to the mall today, pay attention.
What's the biggest shopping day of the year? Black Friday. Do we talk about it in our media continuously
this
time of year?
Yes.
What do you think they're going to, the Mall of America and every other major mall within the United States
becomes a target. Because it's a soft target.
It's an easy target.
By the time they're neutralized, they can still inflict tremendous damage, and they don't care. They don't care if they die in their attack. That's the difference. They're not a traditional military person. They don't care if they die in pursuit of glory in God's name or whatever it is.
You drive a pickup truck through the front doors of a major mall.
Loaded with bombs.
Loaded with explosives, fertilizer, diesel fuel, etc., kerosene.
Yep.
And touch it off.
And here's the end result of 6.5 years, 7 years now, almost, of the leadership of Barack Obama. This is the sum total. The department says all U.S. citizens should remain vigilant. Now, I mentioned this earlier today, and I'm going to mention it again now. Ronald Reagan famously asked Jimmy Carter in the fall of 1980, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? That one question during a presidential debate shortly before the election of November 1980 propelled Ronald Reagan to the White House. The question should be modified this time around, I believe. Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago? Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago? And I think the answer is a resounding no. As this president continues to refuse to call Islamic terrorism for what it is, Islamic terrorism. As Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders tell us nonsense like global warming is the biggest threat that we face today. Because ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, as you know, Shane, they're clearly concerned. They're probably home putting together their global climate change plan right now because, you know, they're probably very concerned that the oceans could rise an inch in the next century. That's clearly number one on their mind. And that, of course, right after they blow themselves up and kill a bunch of innocent French citizens.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's right on their, it's their priority.
Well, climate change is, well, been debunked.
Foolish.
It's been debunked over and over, and now that, and they use that to divert from the fact that they did not address the ISIS issue.
Well, yesterday I had two people that I quoted on the program, one from MIT and one from Princeton, both climate scientists who say that it's way overstated, way overblown. Of course, they're probably being considered dolts today, the same way Ben Carson, you know, the greatest pediatric neurosurgeon probably in history, is dismissed as an idiot by the left. People from MIT, well, you know, clearly Ben Carson's a moron, right? You know, most gifted surgeon, you know, most gifted doctor, because he can remember words as long as your leg and tell you what they mean. And yet the left will dismiss him as some sort of, you know, idiot, moron, knuckle dragger.
Now, we're talking about journalists, media, who most of them couldn't spell anything. I mean,
so couldn't spell half the words that Ben Carson can pronounce. That's true,
right? And uses on a daily basis.
Yeah, with accuracy and regularity. Correct. So there you have it. Anyhow, so you need to ask yourself: are you safer today than you were 4 years ago? That's not. And why on earth would now be the time that those on the left think, well, now is a good time to disarm? Are you out of your minds? Yeah, terrorists could show up at the mall, says the State Department. Terrorists could show up. Well, pretty much anywhere. And meanwhile, those on the left still think that this is the time to disarm America. I'm sorry. They have a terrible, terrible, overwhelming case of cranial rectal inversion that we have need to look into. Anyhow, the hotline number, 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. The hotline if you'd like to join the conversation this Tuesday on The Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan, born and raised with Midwestern values and Michigan common sense.
All righty, welcome back to it. It's the Steve Gruber Show. And here we were talking about, just before the break, about, you know, the move for gun control. In a time when, you know, they're telling us, State Department telling us to be vigilant about what we see at the shopping mall and when we're out, as the State Department has issued a warning about terrorism to Americans. And the way the warning reads, it's not specific to, you know, overseas travelers. It's specific to Americans, no matter where we stand. And so I guess we'll be vigilant. And as Brother Shane pointed out, Black Friday being a big event where people gather for saving tons of money, you know, becomes a soft target, turning into a real Black Friday potentially. So we'll keep an eye on all of those things. Joining me now, my good friend, Rick Hector, regular contributor to the program, National Rifle Association, credentialed firearms trainer in the city of Detroit. Now, if we're looking for something special for the holidays, Rick, maybe we should be looking at a different list this year, because I want to keep myself safe, my family safe, and all of that. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you for once again having me on the show. And as you led into this segment, you know, yes, the State Department has issued, you know, an advisory, I guess, for American citizens when they're out and about, and especially while they're traveling. And I guess one of the things that's, I guess, coincidental, you know, in the big screen scheme of things, is that without any advisories from our government, our State Department, this time of the year, particularly in our major urban cities across the country, is a time in which violent crime, particularly robberies, peak, you know, for obvious reasons. It's the Christmas holiday season. Black Friday is definitely a time period in which terrorists will find attractive. But it's also a time of the year in which local bad guys, predators, carjackers, and armed robbers, you know, where they escalate their violent activity. So, you know, it's quite appropriate for us to, you know, I think, to merge both topics in the one conversation.
How much surprise do you think, you know, just, and we've talked about this some, Rick, but being a Black man in Detroit and going to the mall, whatever mall you go to in the Detroit area, you know, can you imagine the surprise on some white punk's face when he's trying to rip off the holiday shoppers and you pull out a little bit of heat and you say, not so fast, young man. Maybe you should run along now. I mean, I think the look on that kid's face is priceless.
I could definitely see the perpetrator's eyes getting very large and dilated, for sure. But,
yeah.
You know, that applies to everyone. You know, and the thing that I really want to make sure I do a decent job of expounding upon is the piggyback on what the State Department is telling us. They're telling us in very vague terms, if you see something, say something. But, you know, sometimes that doesn't translate very well, because a lot of times when people hear that, they don't exactly know what that means in real, practical, concrete terms, okay? And the best way that I can come up with to explain it is, if you recall, and I'm showing my age here, because I have at least one grandchild, you know, is that situational awareness, particularly in high-volume locations during this period, is very important. And I think when you marry that with the environment, not necessarily are you looking for anything that's weird or odd, you're going to also take another step inwards and say, okay, what looks odd given the environment or the situation that I'm in? And I think that game from Sesame Street, man. Have you ever heard of it? It's called Three of These Things, right?
Yeah, there's one of these things is not like
that comes up.
Yeah, one of these things is not like the other.
Exactly. You know, and you take that into the context of being in a high crime area, you know, like a parking lot or a gas station, you know, right before you're getting out to do your Christmas holiday shopping. And you're looking for something that's weird. If someone is out there at a gas station, for example,
yeah,
and they're not putting air in their tire, putting gas in their car, paying for their goods in the little pantry area, or washing their windshield, or doing something under the hood, immediately bells should go off, because no one is anywhere without a specific goal and objective. And, you know, you need to make sure that you're wary of these folks who are out of place. And the bigger thing, too, is that if you're out and about, man, and you really alluded to it a few moments ago, you got to have a plan. If something happens, okay, first and foremost, you have to be able to identify it. But once we've gotten to that level of identifying a potential threat, whether it's a terrorist or it's a local thug looking to rob us of our money that we're going to use to buy gifts for our loved ones, we need to figure out what we're going to do. You know, so
well, absolutely. You got to, you know,
the intent of robbing you or carjacking you, you need to have a plan.
I mean, Ben Carson got a lot of heat for this. Ben Carson got a lot of heat for this because he said, you know, if he was in a situation where there was going to be a mass shooting and there's a crowd of people, you rush the gunman. You know, he said, you know, things that you think about. Be like, why would you think about such things? Well, because smart people consider those things. You know, you think, okay, if I'm ever in that situation, what would I do? And he got crucified by the media for that.
Yeah, and this is a hallmark of personal protection. You want to go through these what-if scenarios, given your environment and where you are, and thinking, okay, if the worst possible thing that I can come up with given this environment happens, well, what am I going to do? The last thing you want to do is be caught flat-footed, you know, like a deer with your eyes caught in the headlights and not have a clue and just freeze. I mean, there's pretty much five general things that you can do when approached with a bad situation.
Give me two, Rick, before we run. Make it real quick, because we're going to run out of time. Give me the top two.
Top two, one is obviously to fight. You can remove yourself from the scene, or you can posture as if you are going to do something and stall for time and then come up with your ultimate plan. But I like your plan. Expand your Christmas shopping list, buy a firearm, get a concealed pistol license, and be aware of your surroundings.
Now that's a good list right there. Rick Ector, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you for once again having me.
Rick Ector, National Rifle Association credentialed firearms trainer and the guy in charge of, well, LAID, Legally Armed in Detroit. Just go with it. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
I saw a headline earlier today that a whole bunch of Republican PACs, political action committees, are going to get together and start hammering on Donald Trump. They want him out of the race. Hey, they're confused. They're baffled. You know, he was supposed to collapse and fall out of this race 2 months ago. Yeah, well, the Donald keeps, let's be honest. The things that he focused on are things that are of concern today, with the State Department coming out and issuing a travel warning, if you will, and just a terrorism warning to Americans in general. If you see something, say something. You know, all of this is playing right into Trump's hands. You know, the fact that there are potentially terrorists coming over the southern border, the first thing that he talked about, illegal immigration. Even if he rubs some people the wrong way, even if Jorge Ramos is upset from Univision, who cares, Jorge? Because if terrorists are coming across the southern border in Michigan, it plays into Donald Trump's hand and his run for president. But he has become a target himself from those on the other side. Our next guest, Van Hipp, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Army and former Principal Deputy General Counsel of the U.S. Navy. Van Hipp, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Well, the Donald Trump is going to be hosted in South Carolina, correct?
Well, we just had him this past Friday, and we've got Dr. Ben Carson coming by next Wednesday.
So you got some good folks coming through, and so you're getting a chance to see these people up close and in person. Now, tell me, your impressions of Donald Trump at this point in the race. I mean, clearly his narrative, regardless of what you think about Donald Trump in specifics, his narrative has played right into the headlines, and the headlines have played right into his narrative.
No question. And let's face it, the reason he has resonated is because the Republicans and Democrats have both failed the American people on securing the border. And the average person gets it. When they see what happened in Paris, they see what happens when you have an open border policy and you just let them flood in. And unfortunately, this is what has happened in America. We've got 1,000 active ISIS investigations. So, yeah, when Donald Trump talks about building the fence and securing the border, it resonates with a rank and file who get it.
Well, exactly. And so now his polling numbers are up to 42% or something. All right, so you've had him there. You've had a chance to talk to him up close and in person. Yeah, and you've worked at the high levels of government, as you know, in the U.S. Army and the U.S. Navy. Is this a person that you think the military personnel of America would respect?
Yes, I do. And I got to tell you, I was very impressed with him. We had him this past Friday for the kickoff of our Commander-in-Chief Forum at Wofford College. We had 4,000 people show up. And I got to tell you, it was all focused on foreign policy and national security. He showed a lot of depth. And I asked him the questions, and one of the things that he brought up that quite candidly I've not heard anyone else talk about is how our so-called allies are using banking mechanisms to indirectly help ISIS to transfer funds and all. So he actually did, the guy showed a lot of depth, and I was impressed, and now we've got Dr. Carson coming. This is a great forum because we're really getting to the heart of the matter, and it is about electing the commander-in-chief to keep us safe.
All right, so let me ask you this, because I posed this question earlier. I think that the big question for for Americans. You know, in 1980, Ronald Reagan said, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" Said that to Jimmy Carter, that famously upended the election of 1980 and put it into the hands of Ronald Reagan, of course, in a big defeat for Jimmy Carter. But I think it should be changed this time around, and whoever the GOP candidate is, the question should simply be modified to, "Are you safer than you were 4 years ago?" That is the key, pivotal question of the electorate of America in 2016, in my estimation. I just wrote that in an op-ed piece. I believe that, Van Hip, that's the question that Republicans have to start asking of the Democrats. Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago?
I agree with you, and it gets back, and that's why I believe the most important issue of this race is going to be about electing a commander-in-chief. Everything else is a side issue. And when we have a president who still won't even utter the phrase radical Islam, and when you've got thousands and thousands who have poured into this country, we have no idea where they're coming from, who they are. You've got
candidates.
Active ISIS investigations in all 50 states of America right now.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But when you've got candidates the president, Barack Obama, who still says the number one threat to national security is global warming. You know what? I can assure you, Van, that ISIS is not back in Syria right now putting together their global warming plan because they're worried that the oceans might rise an inch in the next century. You know, it's hard to put together a global warming plan when you're building your next suicide vest.
No, you're exactly right. And in your prelude, when you talk about some of these other candidates wanting to try to torpedo Trump, I think it's a serious mistake. I think what they need to start focusing on is securing the border, and their plan to secure the border, and their plan to keep America safe.
Well, and that's the key. Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago? With the State Department issuing its warning yesterday to Americans, and to be clear about this, and we're on the line with Van Hip, the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Army and Deputy Counsel, General Counsel of the U.S. Navy. When they issue a warning like that, and it's not to overseas travelers, you see that from time to time, and it's not to a specific country because you see that from time to time over my lifetime. This is just a general warning. Americans, if you are an American, you are a target for terrorists at the local mall, at the local coffee shop, or a coffee shop in Europe. It doesn't matter where you travel now. You are a target. That's what I'm getting from the State Department.
Absolutely. And if you take it a step further, they're saying that this warning goes through the end of February. Obviously, they've seen a lot out there. And, of course, this is a very savvy, sophisticated enemy. And we're always responding to the last attack rather than thinking outside the box for the next one. I was actually on Fox News yesterday, and let me tell you something I've been promoting. I think it's a good idea. Why not have a situational awareness hotline so we can harness the power of social media? The bad guys have been using social media to kick our butts. It's time for us to use social media to kick theirs. So if I see something in real time, I could text a photo to the National Counterterrorism Center. They could connect the dots. We could maybe prevent a terrorist attack or help first responders better respond during a terrorist attack.
Let me ask you about this, because this has become a conversation again. What about the collection of metadata again? Because this has been a concern of libertarians for sure. I don't particularly care for the idea that they collect metadata or all this other information. But metadata in and of itself, really is not that concerning to me. If you're going to listen to my phone calls, yes, I have a problem with that. If you're going to do certain things and look into my life, I have a problem with it. But metadata and so forth, do we need to take a closer look at how we are organizing and evaluating information that comes in by the ton? I mean, it's hard to keep up with. Do we need to return to looking at some of those things like they have now in France and Belgium?
Yeah, we do. But, with a big problem, the big challenge is as data, there's more and more data every day, a minute. And how do you analyze it, get what you need? That's why I like everything going into the National Counterterrorism Center. They have 1.2 million. I was stunned when I found this number out. 1.2 million people on their terror watch list with potential links to terror. That's a lot of people. So that's why I think having this, just like we've got 911, this would be a completely separate number where I could text a photo, I could text video, I could text suspicious activity. They could hopefully connect the dots in a hurry. We need to do those kinds of things. And I got to tell you, right now, we need to remember the first function of the government is to provide for the common defense of the American people. That's why we have a government.
Well, how do you protect? How do you provide for the common defense if you have a commander in chief that won't even admit what the enemy is? Van Hip, I have to run, my friend. But if you can't admit what the enemy is and call it by name, you're at a bit of a disadvantage from the get go, wouldn't you say?
Amen.
All right, Van Hip. Always a pleasure. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you.
There you have it. Former Deputy Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Army and former Principal Deputy General Counsel of the U.S. Navy. He's rubbed shoulders in important circles, to say the least. And we're just glad he rubbed shoulders here at the Steve Gruber Show. It's Tuesday. By the way, if you'd like to join the conversation, you're invited. 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. It's Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
Welcome back to it. It's a Tuesday on the Steve Gruber Show. I'm brought to you in part by Mesa. Good health, good business, great schools. Appreciate the support of all of our sponsors. And appreciate you listening. We, as I mentioned here earlier, WHAK, Roger City, Alpena, Escanaba, our latest affiliate, serving the northeastern portion of the lower peninsula of Michigan. So we appreciate your support very much. Still to come today, we'll have Frank Fiorina here on the program. Frank is the, well, it's Carly's husband. And he's going to be joining us here in a few minutes here on the program. We'll have five fast facts you need to know about presidential candidate Carly Fiorina from her husband, Frank. That's coming up at the top of the next hour. But right now we have our good friend Nolan Finley, the editor of the Detroit News op-ed page. And Nolan says it's time maybe to hold a refugee summit here in Michigan to discuss the challenges that we face and so forth. Nolan Finley, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Steve. Morning.
Obviously, the refugee question has become a very emotional issue in the wake of what happened in Paris, knowing that some of those refugees may have later conducted part of the terrorist attack that left 500 dead and wounded in the streets of Paris a week and a half ago. And there's no question, you know, that immigrants and refugees have been a huge part of America. But as Ronald Reagan said, you don't bring in immigrants and refugees to the detriment of the nation to begin with. So where are you in your thought processes on this?
Well, I'm in favor of bringing the refugees in. I just think we have to be very careful about how and who we bring in. That's why I suggested that, you know, the Governor Snyder hold a summit, bring the governors in, bring the State Department, Homeland Security in, and let's get a thorough explanation of how the process works, how the screening process works. It's not enough for us to simply take the word of the federal government that they're doing it right. We all know the federal government. We also know that this week in Bowling Green, Kentucky, we had two former Iraqi refugees brought in here more than a decade ago who were plotting terrorism, not in this country, but were working with Al-Qaeda in Iraq to attack American targets.
But it also
so we
comes
do
a,
need to be careful.
Yeah, and it comes a day after the State Department has issued warnings to Americans, not just overseas, but Americans in general, that you are a target by being an American of a terrorist attack. Could be at the mall, could be overseas, could be just about anywhere. So, I mean, I understand the fear of people, you know, if sure. if you bring in 10,000 refugees and just 10 mm-hmm. have terror in their minds and hearts, well, the amount of damage that 10 people can do is you can't take that risk. That's where I am with it. And I don't believe, Nolan, that you can adequately vet a lot of these people because their backgrounds, they're not coming from Canada. They're coming from the Middle East in war-torn regions. How can you verify their history, their past, their criminal record, any of it?
But we've had a very good record, in fact, with the refugees. We have brought in tens of thousands over the years, and we haven't had a single case committed a terrorist act in this country. So I would disagree.
Well, that's
that
not true. What you just said is absolutely false. What you just said is absolutely false. The Sarnia brothers were refugees. They came here and they conducted the Boston bombing. That's a fact.
They came here as children and were radicalized as adults. And I think that's what people are missing here. If we think slamming the door on refugees is going to somehow keep us safe, it's far easier for the Islamic State to radicalize our own people, our own citizens, via the internet than it would be to go through this process. I think it's possible to do a vetting. I think it, though, it needs to be explained. People need to have their fears addressed. I think President Obama has done a horrible job, as usual, with this, turning it into a confrontation rather than reassuring and explaining to the American people. You know, he got up there last week and was condescending and petulant, and, you know, that's not what the tone requires.
Well, that's the way he conducts himself.
Governor has struck the exact right tone here in saying, let's pause and get a good explanation of how the process works to ease people's fears.
So you believe, then, that the Tsarnaev brothers and other refugees, even as they come here as children, are no more susceptible to this message of radicalization than anybody else that's born here that's of Polish descent or Vietnamese descent or Chinese descent or whatever they may be that came here as children from other countries?
Well, I mean, that's saying, Steve, then, that let's not let in any Muslim immigrants from anywhere. Well, you know, of course we've had a problem with radical Islam. What I'm saying is you've got something on the order of 100 folks from Minneapolis who were born in this country, raised in this country, and radicalized by the internet, many of them now fighting overseas. I don't think it's necessarily you protect yourselves, and you shouldn't pretend you're protecting yourself simply by blocking these refugees. You've got a lot of folks out there, Christian refugees among this group, Chaldeans, who are being slaughtered, who are being crucified, who are being beheaded.
Right, but this president
have no safe place in the world.
And so this notion that there shouldn't be a religious test, of course there should be a religious test, because those that are facing extermination because of their religion or their heritage always have been moved to the front of the line in America. That is the way America works.
I agree with that. I think the ones who are being targeted for genocide by the Islamic State should be hurried up here.
But they're not.
The others should necessarily be kept out, and I think there is a process by which they can carefully go through these refugee candidates. I've suggested that you move families toward the head of the line, older refugees, and you take a lot more time with the young single men. I think that's an acceptable.
Well, I guess my point would be, why would we accept young single men and send our boys and girls over there to lose arms, legs, and lives to defend their country? Nolan Finley, I have to run, my friend, but thank you as always.
Thank you.
Nolan Finley, the editor of the Detroit News op-ed page. Why would we send our boys and girls to lose legs, arms, and lives, huh? It's the Steve Gruber Show.